Welcome to the Citygate Church podcast. Today's message was recorded at our live Sunday services, and we hope that it encourages you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
Father, we thank you, Lord God, for an amazing day we are living in. Absolutely incredible. We sang earlier about the greater works. Jesus, you said greater things shall we do because you're going to the Father. And whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to do. And then we know that you do far abundantly above all we ask or imagine. Lord, what an amazing day to be alive. I wouldn't want to live in any other time. Lord, we're in the kingdom for such a time as this. And let the Esthers rise up. Let the Gideons rise up. Let the King David's rise up, the Joshua's, let the Apostle Paul's rise up, let the Timothy's rise up. Spirit of God, will you do something in us which is totally supernatural? We thank you, God, for your word today, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you, Lord, that that word's going to touch us and transform us from the inside out. We receive today the implanted word. Lord, we declare, Lord, we're not just those who just want to drink the milk of your word. We want to go on to eating meat. So, Father, we toughen up, Lord, we strengthen up by the joy of the Lord on the inside of us. And we thank you, God, that that word, Lord, shall be revealed. Spirit of God, will you be our helper today? Hallelujah. Our teacher, our paraclete, the one who walks alongside us and strengthens our hand in God, enables us to be all you've called us to be. Thank you, God, right now for your throne of grace. Lord, where we lay hold of everything we need. In Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Can we give him a shout of praise right now in the church? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Amen, amen, amen. Well, any giant killers in the house? Yeah. I thought there were. Last week we sort of started on a season. I'm not going to call it a series, a season where the giant killers are rising up. Giant killers. People who want to take the head off some giants. That's what King David did. You know, he was the first person in the Bible to get a head in life. I thought that was hilarious. You got to laugh at your own jokes. You got to. I learnt that years ago. Because I tell dad's jokes. You know what I mean by dad jokes. Nobody else finds them funny but me. But giant killers. There are giants in the land, you know. We found that out last week. Perhaps you found some this week. Perhaps you found some giants this week that wanted to take you down. There are giants in the land. But it's like, woohoo! There are giants in the land. It's not, oh, but there are giants in the land. Remember last week, yeah? We're not the people who have the, yeah, but there are giants. We're the ones who, giants? Yeah, come on. Can't wait. Because you know what a giant means? Giant means promotion. Giant means more victory. Giant means I've got it on the inside of me. So today, I'd like us to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I'm sure some people are thinking, oh, he's going to David and Goliath. Well, no, I'm not. I want to prepare for David and Goliath. Is that okay? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, from halfway through the verse. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, which is who? The boy David. The shepherd, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So they sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes, good looking. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is the one. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. What an amazing day to be David. What an incredible day. Everything changed for David that moment. So Samuel arose, he goes to Ramah, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Wow. Just a little verse. The Spirit of the Lord came upon the boy David, and at the same time, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. The Spirit of the Lord makes all the difference. He makes all the difference. There was a guy in the Old Testament, he was sitting on his chair. His sons came in and said to Eli and said, the Spirit of the Lord has left the temple. And he was so shocked, horrified, impacted that he fell over, broke his neck and died. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord makes all the difference. The Spirit of the Lord coming upon David, the Spirit of the Lord departing from Saul makes all the difference. And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled Saul, and Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you, and let our master now command your servants who are before you, excuse me, to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that when he plays it with his hand, the distressing spirit from God which is upon you, and you shall be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I've seen the son of Jesse, which is David, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. It's a great CV, isn't it? Therefore, Saul sent to him and said, send me your son, David, who's with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son to Saul, to Dave, from his son to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. Saul loved David greatly, and David became Saul's armor bearer. What an incredible passage of scripture, because I'm just thinking about this 15-year-old kid right now. I know our 14, 15-year-olds are doing the youth or whatever now. Is that in the 11 o'clock service? Whatever, but room full of them on Friday night. 15-year-old kids. No offense if you're here today and 15, but just in the context of like turning the world upside down, a lot of people would overlook the things that God uses. I'm just thinking about this 15-year-old kid and what had just happened to him. He's just encountered a prophet and a horn of oil and God's glory flooding. I'm thinking about the fact that he just goes straight back out to do what he was always doing, which is keeping the sheep, because that's where he went back to. And yet he went back a changed man. He went back into his everyday world as a brand new person, transformed by the Spirit of God. I'm thinking about the fact that the king of the nation has now lost the hand of God upon his life. Gone. Spirit of God has left. I'm thinking about the fact that this one boy is now the focus of the king. He was unknown before that day. Wasn't really cared about by the family. Oh, David doesn't count. He's the creative one. He's the Yeshua. He's the worshiper. He's the harp player. He's the one that he's never happier when he's lying on his face and worshiping God. That's just him. Today I want to speak about the making of a giant killer. You see, giant killers, I don't believe, are born. I believe they're made. All of us are on a journey, and that's a fantastic thing, wonderful thing. God's got us all on a journey. God's got us going from where we are today to the place where he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm hungry for that day. Anybody else? I am so hungry for that day. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I may be a 2-talent person today, but I'll soon be a 5-talent person. And I may be a 5-talent person today, but I'm soon going to be a 20-talent person. And I may be a 20-talent person today, but I'm soon going to be a 100-talent person. I don't care where you are in your journey. It's time to do the most you can with the talents that you have. And for God to say, you had 2, now you're going to have another 2. You've had 5, let me load you up with another 5. You've had 10, I'm going to give you another 10. Don't be confident, don't be complacent, don't be content with that. Well, I've got 5 now. Man, I'm looking for the next 5. I'm looking for the next 10. See, people are made. They're not just born. A lot of people live their whole life envying people who are born a certain way that is different to them. You got to get your mind off how other people are born and understand that God wants to make you something. Yes. Do you remember the two sons? Parable of the prodigal son. And one son comes and said, give me everything that's rightfully mine. Give me. There's a lot of give me people in the world today. Oh, I can't stand that attitude. Come on. Give me. Such a victim mentality. Such an entitled mentality. Such a, we just seem to be surrounded by people. Give me. Give me what I deserve. Give me what's rightfully mine. Give me what I want. When do you want it? Now. Oh, man. Give me. So the father gives him whatever. And he goes out. And he obviously was given stuff that he couldn't handle. Because it just destroyed his life. And then he comes to his senses and he's out there with the pigs. And he starts to think. The Bible says he comes to himself. He comes to his senses. And he says, back at home, I had everything. And you know the story, a lot of you. And so he goes back. And the father's got his eyes open. He's looking for him like he's looking for some people here today. And he sees him coming from a long way off. And he runs and hugs him and puts shoes on his feet and a ring on his finger and robes and kills the fatted calf. But you know what's more important than any of that is what's happened inside the boy. Just a few months earlier, he'd been going, give me. And he had that frustration and that entitlement and that give me. Give me, God, give me the business, God, give me a wife, God, give me a house, God, give me the, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And yet when he came back, that hardness of God and a humility had come into him. And there was a softness and there was a vulnerability towards God. And he wasn't saying, give me anymore. You know, the first words out of his mouth, he said, make me. Those are two completely different types of Christians. We have a lot of give me Christians in the body of Christ. But you know what God wants? He wants a church full of people crying out saying, God, will you make me? Will you make me? Will you make me what you want me to be? Because I've come to find out that God has already given me everything in Christ. He's already given me healing. He's already given me prosperity. He's already given me joy. He's already given me peace. He's already given me opportunity. He's already given me favor. He's already given me mercy. He's already given me greatness. He's already given me. Why? Because it's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. Therefore, everything Jesus has, I've got. I'm a co-heir with him. Don't bring your give me generation into the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not about give me, it's about make me. And what can I give to the generation I live in? So giant killers, again, you know, and I'm all for laying hands on people and healing lines and prayer lines and prophetic things. Absolutely, the church is built on that. But sometimes God, you know, people want God to give them something that God wants them to have a confidence you've already got it. Get your eyes off of the give me and more onto the, come on church, go onto the make me. Make me. Make me. Now again, we've got to apply that in faith. There's a hymn, wonderful, wonderful hymn. I don't know what century it was written in, 17th, 18th, I don't know. Phenomenal hymn, except for one line. One line, one little thing, and I go, ugh. Awesome hymn, some of you will be able to tell me what it is, but there's this one line, make us more than conquerors. I'm sorry? The Bible says we are more than conquerors. We are. I refuse to sing things, saying things that don't agree with the word of God. So we got to apply that make me to what is scriptural for who we are in Christ. But I believe that giant killers, like everything else in life, are made, they're not just born. What was it in David that God saw? What was it in David that God anointed? What was it? Why did God say that one? I'll have David. Why not Eliab? He had all the qualifications. Why Zacchaeus? I could go through all sorts of people that people would just overlook. Why them? Well, I think that there are certain things that were in David that God said, I'm going to flood that kid. I'm going to flood him. You see, we are living in a generation where we need to be flooded people. Amen? Yeah. Flooded people. Flooded. Last Sunday night in that incredible prayer meeting. Phenomenal. I mean, just, I don't know. The prayer meeting to me is just a priority. It just is. Just is. And I was just praying. I can't remember what part of the prayer meeting we were in and what scripture. I mean, it was Isaiah 54 we were praying through. But, and I was just saying, God, I don't want to be paddling. I don't want to be up just up to my knees. I don't want to be just up to my waist. I want to be in the deep where I've got to swim. Where I've got to swim. I want to be fully immersed in everything you're doing in my generation. I want to be fully immersed, whether that's in worship, whether that's in praise, whether that's in faith, whether that's in joy, or whether that's in shining. God, I want to be fully immersed in everything you're doing. I want to be right in the middle of this revival in London. I don't want to be on the edge of it. I don't want to be saying, oh, isn't it great? Look what God's doing over there. There is no competition, but I'm not over there. I'm here. I'm here, and I want everything God has to be pouring out through this place. Pouring out. Creflo Dollar, who I've been listening to for 30 years. I can remember when he first started to speak about how when God poured out of his spirit on the day of Pentecost, and I won't get into all the teaching now, but that pouring out now comes out of here. Whew. Rivers, floods of his glory, floods of living water, pouring out the heart of the church. I want to swim in my own river. Sounds a bit crazy, but a lot of people said, oh, give me an outpouring, God. No, make me someone who's pouring out in the most amazing way out of my own spirit. Somebody else can swim in what I'm pouring out. What a day to be alive, but what is it about David? What is it? David, kid, worshiper, sheep keeper, shepherd. Just going to read these through. This is what it was about David. And Father God, will you make us to have this attitude and this heart and this passion? Amen? You got your catchers out today, because seriously, you're going to need it for this. Number one, he was a man after God's own heart. Acts 13, Acts 15. God found David, a man after God's own heart who would do all his will. Can we just determine right now that we're going to be people after God's own heart? Is that okay? Can we just pray? Father God, we just standing here in your presence right now, and we thank you, God, that you've put a steadfast spirit on the inside of us. You've put a new spirit. And Lord, in that place of oneness with you, we thank you, God, and we commit and we yield ourselves to being people. Lord, I yield myself to be a person, as a man after your own heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. To have a heart after God. To have a heart for God. You see, a lot of people want what you get for being on fire for God. But the way you get it is by being on fire for God. A lot of people want the rewards for being anointed. But we got to do what needs to be done to be anointed. Now, we are the body of the Christ. We have an anointing from the Holy One. We understand all that. But he's still a person. That God wants us to walk with him. And talk with him and love on him and give him space and say, not just here's my shopping list. What do you want to say to me, Holy Ghost? What do you want to make me, Holy Ghost? What do you want to renew in me, Holy Ghost? What do you want to rebuke in me, Holy Ghost? What do you want to chastise in me, Holy Ghost? What do you want to fan into flame in me, Holy Ghost? What is it that you want to strengthen in me, Holy Spirit? What is it that you want to renew and repair in me? What do you want to do in me, Holy Spirit? I'm not going to pray prayers of what I want you to do for me, Holy Spirit. Man after God's own heart, in Jesus' name, amen. The anointing doesn't create good attitude, it empowers it. See, the two totally different scriptures about what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon Saul and came upon David. When the Spirit came upon Saul, it says it turned him into another man. That's the problem. That's the problem. He was a mess without the anointing. The anointing polished him up. When the anointing left, he went back to being a mess. God doesn't just want to be upon me so that it's just all awesome and all shiny. See, he found David before he was anointed. man after God's heart, and thought, you know what? I can amplify that. I can amplify what is going on in his life by my spirit. I can amplify that. Number two, what is it about David? Well, David could affect and change the atmosphere. See, they didn't know much in Saul's day. They didn't know much. They don't know anything near like what we know today about the presence of God and the anointing of God. But what they did know is if you create an environment of worship, the devil flees. They knew that. And they made it sound really simple. You know what they just said? Oh, get someone who can play a harp. Some people wonder why there's not much anointing on their life and they're turning on the world's mess. Hello? This stuff works. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. So they said, bring in someone who can play the harp. And it wasn't just about the fact that he could play an instrument, because that will mean that only musicians get hold of the glory. And that's not the case. It's simply this guy knew how to change the atmosphere. Will you be a believer that when you walk in the room, the atmosphere changes for God? Some people walk in a room and it's like, oh. They walk in, I walk out. Seriously. You ever been there? Yeah. It's like they just bring in a death, a heaviness. They bring in a moaning, a complaining, a criticism. God doesn't live on that stuff. People bring in an atmosphere. What atmosphere are you bringing into your world? You see, you may think, what's this got to do with giant killing? Everything. Man after God's own heart knew how to affect and change the atmosphere. Lift the rooms you walk into. Lift them. Have you ever seen that people gather around what they want to? You know what I mean? Somebody's positive, the positive people will gather around him, her, them. Someone's a moaner and a groaner, they will always find people to agree with them, which justifies their position of complaint. Oh, look what God's confirmed it. No, you gathered it. You gathered it. You with me? Oh man, so much stuff here. Number three. What makes a giant killer? Number three, skill. Skill. See, David understood excellence. We see this all through his life, how he built the temple, how he did other things. David understood excellence. Not a that'll do mentality, but something that if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it well. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. You see, there's actually a problem when something is a gift. The tendency can be that you don't work on it. There's some things I've been asked about through my life, especially pastoring churches, and people say, other pastors ask me, can you come and talk about how you do that? Just been asked to go and speak to a whole denomination leaders about how we do something, how I do something. And I'm thinking, oh, mate, I don't know. I don't know. I just do it. How do you forgive people like that? I just do it. How can you host people? I just do. I'm not talking about me now. I'm just being general. How do you play guitar like that? I just do it. When it's a gift, the tendency can be to be arrogant. and just say, look what I can do. Even if you don't say that, that's what you feel. And then you don't think you need to work on it. Well, David obviously had a gift, but he worked on it. He worked on it. And in fact, the criteria in the temple, not just for worshippers, but that's just what we're talking about here, was they worked on their gift. They worked on it. Just because you got a gift. Lots of people have a gift and they are less than average because they didn't have to work to get what they got. When you got to work for something, you appreciate it more. And I'm not talking about a salvation by works. We want to be in our gifted area. But God gives you a gift and then he expects you to develop it. Hello? That can be in any area of life. And David understood this. Excellence takes work. Number four, what else made David a giant killer? You getting this morning? Is this okay? Number four, courage. Oh, not courage. You talked about that last week. Well, I need more courage this week. Courage is fundamental to being a world changer. Fundamental. Courageous people can do far more than gifted people. Oh, that's perhaps too deep for a Sunday morning. What was it about David that gave him such confidence? See, you've got to understand, he'd already faced a lion. He'd already faced a bear. Before this, 15 years old, he knew who he was. The word courage, I looked into it quite a lot this week, and there's so much I could do the whole morning on courage. But it literally means this: firmness of mind in the face of danger or extreme hardship, difficulty. Firmness of mind. It means mental or moral strength. Courage. Talked about this last week. We're not I can't people, we're I can people. Because courage is in there from the Holy Ghost. Tenacity, courage, courage to go against the current. Courage when everybody's shouting this in your workplace. You don't have to shout, but it's like, well, no, I'm not gonna just, oh yeah, and agree. No, I'm walking the opposite direction. Courage to be different. Courage to stand up. Courage to stand in the face of accusation. Courage to stand knowing that God will deliver you. Courage to influence others towards good. Courage to look different. Courage to be different. Courage to be that Christian in your workplace. Not that weird, flaky, spiritual person that dances in and goes, hallelujah. That's not courage, that's nuts. Come on, let's have courage to be people that other people say, I've got a problem. I know the one person in my work I need to talk to. I've got a marriage breakup. I know the one person in my workplace that I can confide in. I've got kids going haywire. I know that one person that I know I can talk to. Because there's something strong, there's something stable, there's something, even though the world is shaking, they just come in and they're just consistent, the same yesterday, today, and forever, because Jesus is a rock in their life. We were singing today, you are a rock in my life. I stand upon the rock. Jesus said, you are a rock. Because a revelation on the inside. And some people want to be in a church where it's all there. We know you're going to fall. We know you're going to get it wrong. We know all of that, but there's a better road. There's a better way, and it's the Christian life where we have a heart for God and we're on fire for God and we come into the prayer meetings and we come into the worship times. We're not coming in late because worship doesn't matter. Hello? Where we're fired up on the inside and there's a courage. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. Bold as a lion. If you're going to think big, think enormous. If you're going to pray, pray big prayers. If you're going to love somebody, love them like God loves them. Come on, it takes courage on the inside. What else was David? Number five, and you may think, well, isn't this the same as courageous? No, it's not. Number five, David was a fighter. I mean, it actually says he was a man of war. And I've looked, and I'm sorry, perhaps I just need to know my Bible better or need to know history. I don't find one battle he ever fought in. And he's known as a man of war. Literally, David, man of war. He's 15. What have they been fighting? I've looked and I've looked and I've looked and I've asked Alexa. No, I haven't. I don't even know who she is. Just heard her name. But it's like, where are these great battles that David fought in? No, they started from here. Yet he was known. I don't know if they just were trying to paint David as like this Superman to Saul, because they said, Saul, there's this guy. And he's like this, and he's this, and he's, and they just got a bit carried away. And he's a warrior. I don't know. I think there's something on the inside of David. Because what you are on the inside, whether you've ever done it on the outside, you're already that on the inside. It's that spirit, it's that attitude, it's that gifting of God, it's that Holy Ghost on the inside, it's that spirit of faith on the inside. He was a fighter. And I'm not talking about playground scraps. I'm not talking about people who in life are just victims and they fight for attention. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who fight for a cause. I'm talking about people who fight for their family and fight for their wife and fight for their marriage and fight for their kids and fight for their church and fight for the kingdom of God and fight for the name of Jesus in a generation and fight for a move of God. Take the battle to the Spirit. Take the battle to the Spirit. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. Literally, I am a warrior on the inside. Number six, what else was David that made him a giant killer? Number six, so important. Again, each of these I could do a whole day on. Prudent in speech. Prudent in speech. You know what that means? Known for wise words. Wise words, wisdom. You see, this is the thing. Again, I'm going to apply. Do you remember the give me and the make me? A lot of people praying, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Oh, Lord. We think that's a wonderful prayer. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom. You know what I'd prefer to pray? God, make me wise. Seriously, it's two totally different ends of Christianity. There's the give me people and there's the make me people. Give me patience, God. No, make me patient. And David, prudent speech, known to be somebody who's wise. I love Ephesians. I love the prayers of Paul. And it's like that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It wasn't just, I got the wisdom of God for that thing. It's like, no, I've got a spirit of wisdom and revelation on the inside. Walking in wisdom. Now, if you need wisdom, ask for it. But let's pray bigger prayers. Yes. David was a prudent in speech. At 15 years old, speaking words of wisdom. Number seven. I love this one. He was good looking. Any good looking people in City Gate Church? You better believe it. Man alive, you guys are gorgeous. You're amazing. Looking amazing. David, I mean, it said about him twice earlier on in the passage and then at the end in this CV that they read out. David was an attractive person. Attractive. The world gets hung up on so sad, actually. It's so sad. The world gets hung up on eyelashes and abs. Seriously. What are they called? BBLs. How tragic a life is that? Attractive people are interested in others, not obsessed with themselves. Attractive people are humble, not prideful. Attractive people are positive, not moaners and complainers. Attractive people lift other people up, don't put other people down. Attractive people are kind, not cruel. Attractive people are generous, not stingy. Attractive people carry a smile, not a frown. Attractive people. Attractive people. I'm not saying in any way don't take care of the outer person. But beauty does not come from the outer person. Beauty comes from the inner person. That's where it comes from. That's where beauty pours out from. That's where it is. David was an attractive person. People want to be around him. And finally, David was an armor bearer. I wondered about putting this one in, and I thought, I've absolutely got to. David, anointed king, encountering a prophet, Spirit of God upon his life, able to bring in the presence of God, and yet knew his time was in God's hand, and until then, David was going to serve another man's vision. Armor bearers in the Bible are very, very significant. There was a book that came out years ago called God's Armor Bearer, only a little book. And I read it and 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 thought, dear God, that's what I want to be. I just want to be an armor bearer. I think we sort of have a huge lack in the body of Christ today of people who just see it their aim to be an armor bearer. See, people want other people to carry their armor. Let's be the sort of person that says, you know what, I'm not interested in that. I want to carry someone else's armor. I don't want to be finding people to carry my armor. I want to carry somebody else's armor. This is huge. You know, Jonathan and his armor bearer. Armor bearers, absolutely vital in the body of Christ. People who will lift up somebody else's hands. People who will serve somebody else's vision. It's that thing, what can I do for you? Is there anything you need? How can I help? It's that second mile lifestyle. Promoting somebody else, you know what, God will promote you. But that's not even why you do it. It's just to be an armor bearer in the kingdom of God. Serve someone else, and absolutely God will make sure your needs are met. Fulfill someone else's vision, and God will see to it that your vision comes to pass. We know all the return and the reward of it, but can I just say, being an armor bearer is not a means to an end. It's really an end in itself. I just want to serve. I just want to serve. I just want to be a blessing. I mean, here we are talking about slaying giants and all of that, and we got the victorious, come on, take the head off, coming. But I just thought it absolutely vital to talk about why David could take the head off of Goliath. Did you get anything out of that today? Can we give God some praise in the house today? Is that okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we stand to our feet? Father God, we thank you that, Lord, there are so many people in your word that are an incredible example to us of getting it very wrong or getting it very right. We learn from it all. And Lord, we see David and we see someone that you said, I found him, I'm going to anoint him, I'm going to lift him up, I'm going to put him on a throne, and I'm going to call him, in fact, I'm going to call my own son, the son of David. So Lord, this is not insignificant. And Father, you've been dealing with our heart today. Lord, that engine room on the inside. And Lord, I know there's people across this room, myself included, where, Lord, perhaps we need that heart after God. Perhaps we need that skill to develop in our lives and not just have an entitled mentality. Perhaps we're here and we need to say, God, I'm going to be a courageous believer. Stir up that courage on the inside. Perhaps we're here today and, Lord, we need to say, I'm going to fight. I'm not going to quit all the time. I'm not going to be a quitter. I'm going to be a fighter. Lord, we know we don't fight people. We're fighting in the spirit, but it's that, Lord, that spirit of tenacity on the inside. Lord, perhaps we're here today and we need to be an armor bearer that says, what can I do for you? So Father, whatever it is, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do in us, we thank you for that work that is supernatural. Lord, that in this day we live in, your church will arise victorious, unshakable, world-changing, history-making, to see tens of thousands of people come to Christ across our boroughs. And we believe it and we receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give him some praise in this place today. Just before we close, absolutely vital that on the back of that, we provide opportunity for people to say, I'm coming back to God. I'm coming back to God. I'm coming back. I'm not going to be a give me Christian anymore. I'm going to be a make me Christian. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're here today and you just want to say, yep, you know what? Today is life-changing for me. Today's a day where I'm not going to be on the outskirts anymore. If there's a revival, I'm going to be in the middle of it. And that's not where I am today. I know I'm living with the pigs of life. I'm a Sunday Christian. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not praying. But you know what? Today, everything changes. By the grace of God and by my faith and my commitment, everything changes today. God, will you do a new work in me? Perhaps there are some other people here today and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've even been a churchgoer for a lot of your life, but today's a day saying, that's it. Jesus, will you be my Lord and my Savior? If you're in either of those two groups of people with every eye closed and every head bowed, just come on. This is a day of courage and boldness. Will you lift your hand right now in this auditorium, please? Say, yeah, Pastor Jay, will you pray for me? Is there anybody here today? Wonderful. God bless you. Wonderful. Is there anybody else here today? Come on, people responding to God in the room. Online, God bless you. Online as well, will you join us? Will you join us in saying, come on, I'm going to be wholehearted for God. Is there anybody else here today? As I look across this auditorium, I think this is something all of us could really respond to in some way and just say, yeah, I'm coming. I'm stirring up. I'm coming back. But come on, let's all pray this prayer together today. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, for your power, for your grace. Thank you for your gift of Jesus, who died on the cross to give me life. You raised him from the dead and seated him in the highest place. I believe in you, Jesus. I receive you, Jesus. I give you my life. Will you be my Lord and my Savior and my friend? And from this day forwards, there is a turnaround in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise in the house again. One more time.